put together a task force which met 5 times every Thursday for the last month, and this will be the last town hall meeting. The whole purpose for all the meetings was mainly to gather concerns of the Oceano community members, the users of the park and others, and hopefully all that will be accumulated in a way and be presented to the Board of Supervisors, who on April 17th will make a decision as what direction they choose to take. Now, and that is April 17th, and I've been told that the meeting will be scheduled sometime at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. The reason I say sometime, because usually in the afternoon we start with public comments and staff input about Los Osos Sewer, and as soon as we're done will be next agenda item, which is I'm hoping that that is. Please make all the efforts for to come and speak your mind as you were able to do it here. It is your board. It's democracy at its best, and whatever it takes, because this is a public land that's been brought to our attention by an interested buyer, that is State Park. I'm going to read the names of the task force members. If you're here, please stand up and be recognized. Representing County General Services was Mr. Dwayne Leib. We had Ray from State Parks. Ray is with us in the back room. From Slow Coast Keepers, we had Gordon Hensley. Oceano Improvement Association, we had Glenda Guyton. Oceano Community Service District, we had Mr. Bill Bookhout. Friends of the Oceano Dunes, Tom Roth. Please, let's not do that because it takes time and the reason for that, if you hear a gentleman or a lady speak something that really very pleasant to your ears, and if you do that, it takes time from the next speaker, and or if the next speaker is not to your liking, they might be discouraged to just speak their mind. So it's always much more pleasant if we allow everybody to speak their mind, regardless of what opinion they are. Members at large, Christy Kamphorst. City of Grover Beach was represented by Mayor Steven Lieberman. Strand resident, Oceano citizen, Mr. Larry Bross. Central Coast seniors, Kathy Young. Zone 11A Advisory Committee, Mr. Norm Getty. City of Pismo Beach, Council members, Shelley Hingebottom. And prior to her was Ted Ehring. Housing Advisory Committee was Shirley Gibson. Oceano Advisory Committee, Barbara Mann. Land Conservancy, Bob Hill.
Thursday, even though we had task force members appointed to this committee, it was all the meetings were open to the public at large. Everybody was welcome to attend. Everybody had as much to say as the task force members. So hopefully we didn't leave anybody out. You did not have to have a title in order to speak your mind. You were welcomed at all times to do just that. The entire discussion was the future of the state parks, and every item had a full discussion of the pros and the cons. And some of the items discussed were, should we trade the land? And this idea came from Mr. Dininas, why don't you do that? And his idea was also Flacco. Well, we did discuss that, and there were more cons, if I may put it that way. Doesn't mean that you shouldn't come and offer it to the Board of Supervisors on April 17th, but the idea of that it's already used for public benefit, and the fear of the contaminated lake as whose responsibility would it be for future cleanup. Sell the property, lease the property, alternate accesses, other interested buyers. The reason we put it up there and want to discuss it, you will, it being a public agent, the state parks and as well as the county, they did make an offer, and under certain codes, I won't bore you with any. Because this question did come up several times as why is it that we're not considering selling it to someone else? Now, the Board of Supervisors on April 17 can or may choose to do just that, to say we're not interested to sell to state parks and we want to put it up for bids and see where we go with that. So those are possibilities. And the reason that it didn't go out to bids, the answers were that the code for a sale, it's a California government code section 25365,
is specifically for agency to agency. In this case, the state approached the county with an offer. This is why the county is not looking at other offers at this time. Code does not require an auction, but does require a 4/5 vote to approve. If there were other parties interested in purchasing, however, the board would like to know. In other words, if you know of any other parties, Mr. Hill was representing Land Conservancy, and hopefully through him we were able to reach other interested parties if they were. We haven't received any. But that doesn't mean that just because we have a General Services, who I believe did a great job by researching and bringing us more answers. And before I ever spoke, I always said that I want to stand to be corrected, simply because every time any piece of information came forward, it was argued on a very good level, and we had to go back and do more research just to confirm if it was the correct statement that I made or somebody else made, or bring any other confirmation to the table. And the other piece of discussion was, what if the county chose to do nothing? And that went back to the reasons as why county 25 years ago, before some of us were involved, chose to lease this property. Among the two that often came to our attention was the cost of liability and the cost of habitat protection. Now, again, county can choose to take back this piece of land and make it a budget item and put $1 million aside and deal with that. So that's all going to be the reason I say all this, so that you are, regardless of what opinion you are, you're all encouraged to come and start thinking what else to offer to the county in order for them to help make up their mind. Because of all these issues, I come up with a matrix. The matrix on the left-hand side column did specify the desires, if it was trade, sell, lease, do nothing, who else is out there, compromises, so what if we didn't do anything about it. On the right-hand side column, we had the impacts to the environment, impacts to the sensitive and endangered species, the impact to the business community, the impact to the oceano community, the impact to the shorefront or the beachfront owners of houses, the impact on neighboring city of Grover Beach, Pismo Beach, Royal Grande. So we kind of stayed very local as much as we can. And the impact on the users, those who love to use and those who say that we've been using this area for the last 100 years and why should we stop using it? And other arguments for it and against it. What we did, thanks to Vicky, my legislative assistant, who worked also very, very hard, and I want to thank her publicly for all of her hard efforts. And just like we welcome Mr. Patterson, let's show her our gratitude for all of her hard work. Now, even though the task force did a good job, in my view, filling in the matrix, we made those forms available for you as well. So you, if you weren't able very much, that you do that right away, because next Tuesday we'll be here before you know it, and decisions will be made. And it could be a decision to continue or postpone. Any of the above is a possibility. And speaking of possibilities, this afternoon when I met with Ms. Langford and Mr. Larry Bruss, we talked about me personally having a conflict of interest. Sometime in May, I did call the Fair Political Practice Commission, who is in place to advise me and other elected officials about possibility of conflict of interest. Now, of course, the first question is, are you within 500 feet or not? And the other day, meaning when I first called them, which was someplace middle of May, from one of my local gas stations to the entryway of Grand Avenue, which is the closest distance, is about 1.7 miles. Different cars you drive, you might get a different mileage, but that's a proximity. And with the 500 feet, of course, doesn't apply, but going beyond that as what could be the choices brought to the Board of Supervisors. If it's the idea of is it in conformity or not, it's one story. If it's sell or trade, another story. If it's the change of the land use, it's another story. So I'm hoping that before next Tuesday, I get a final answer. And there's also a code in the government code, if you would like to look into it yourself. It's 18705.3. And if any one of you would like to call the Fell Political Practice Commission, If you're ready, I'll give you their number. It's a Sacramento number. It's a long-distance number. Area code 916-327-2019. And again, I would listen to their advice, and our county council is looking into the code, and the possibilities are as good or as bad that I might have a conflict of interest. But I still feel very good that we had this opportunity to bring the community together to listen to your concerns and accumulate your concerns on a piece of paper. A lot of creative ideas came. I remember one day receiving an email from Mr. Gary who said, I couldn't sleep, nobody thought about, and yet another access from this area. So those were all good thinking that came out of the brainstorming that we did among ourselves. So hopefully, me part of it or not, all this comments, recommendation from the public at large will be well considered or taken into consideration by the Board of Supervisors. Again, if you would like to speak tonight, I wouldn't rush. We're going to be here, scheduled to be here till 8 o'clock, but I do have to drive to Santa Barbara because Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I have Coastal Commission meetings. Okay, also we display on the wall all the maps, and some of the maps we have, if we had it here first time, we hold the town hall meetings. And since then, we have learned a lot. Probably we've been able to introduce to you tonight a new map, which also shows, if I'm not mistaken, the study that was put forward by Condor about alternative accesses. Here comes the judge, so we all have to behave. How are you doing, Judge? Thank you. Give it to the young lady here. If you'll put it up front here for me, please, I would appreciate it. Thank you.
Put it in the box, right?
Right here, right here. I put it on the top of the other one. Thank you very much.
Thank you for holding these meetings out here.
Oh, you're welcome, sir. Okay, as soon as some other people will sit down, I'll say a few more words, then I want to open up to the public. Please feel free. And the whole purpose of this meeting is to listen what you have to say. As much as we had our metrics to follow through, other concerns did come forward. And among those concerns were anywhere from global warming. And how important it was to maintain a local control. The disturbance caused by to the sensitive and endangered species, the trespassing onto neighbors' properties from the property that's owned by the county, a warning of vehicle-free beach, the need of maintaining the state park as is, meaning that no other activities on the state park. We also heard from meaning there are times that people called me, emailed me, or came to public and spoke their mind. This lady said that the only way her mother, who's in handicapped, the only way she can gain access to the beach area was by her driving it. Used to be for vehicular recreation, and it's no longer. And they have a map to address that issue. Then there was a noise element, the hours of operation. And, of course, always look to forward to hearing from elderly Bill, who in an email to me gave me the history of the mankind from 2 billion years ago and the introduction of cars and our addiction to oil. So I always appreciate hearing from Bill. So, and those are some of the highlights of our discussions. So without any further ado, what I would like to do is go to the names that were requested to speak, and I'm going to call up your names. Please come forward. Tell us who you are. If you want to tell us who you represent, feel free. What you say going to be recorded, so it's just like going home or coming to any of our meetings. Please speak your mind. And as I mentioned, please be respectful of all of the speakers' opinions, because obviously you're going to hear some opinions that not to your liking. Please be polite about it. Be respectful about it. We want to encourage every person to come up here and speak his or her mind as they see it fit. And that's the price we pay for democracy, and I'm glad to be part of it. Okay, our first request to speak is Judge Gordon Shore, followed by Mr. Bill Dineen. And we have some mics that we'll be happy to bring it to you, so you don't have to come up here unless you care to.
I live here in Oceano, nearby here. Is this working okay?
Can people in the back here?
Okay. Yes. I personally am opposed to selling the beach land to the state. I want the county to retain it so I can retain control over it. And I'm also hoping that we can limit the vehicle use of the beach for our local beach. And one thing is, I walked down here tonight, and there's a big trash bag spilling out, and that's another thing the off-riders do. But I think the benefit of money from the off-roaders is exaggerated by the people who report. I think they mostly are self-contained in their campers and RVs, and they bring their food and drink with them. They may need a little augmented from pure liquor, and I think they probably go to Grover Beach to get gas and wash their salt off their cars on the way, but I think for the most part, they don't spend much here. I think that's highly exaggerated. And I hope we don't lose the control over what little we have now.
Vehicle-free Napomo Dunes. I want to address the subject of global warming. I think we're finally waking up to the fact that we're producing too much carbon dioxide that is causing global warming. It's not that it was nice and warm today, but it is a global problem. And if you saw 60 Minutes last week, it dealt with the melting of the ice caps and all that. Anyway, one of the causes is carbon dioxide that comes from vehicles. And we have got to cut down our addiction to vehicles. And the first step to do is cut our use of vehicles for so-called recreation. We've got legs to walk on. We've got bicycles to ride. We don't need to drive all the time. You've got to drive less and walk more and bicycle more. Every day I bike 6 miles at least, and I urge all of you to leave the car alone and ride your bicycles. Okay. Also, dust. In Napomo, a lot of dust. Where is that dust coming from? A lot of it is coming from vehicles that are on the beach, stirring it up, sending it into the sky, and it's going into Napomo. So I thank you, Cacho, for giving me a chance to speak, and I think I've spoken long enough.
So thank you, Bill. And bring one thing I learned during the task force meeting, Bill, when you said the word recreation, I was amazed how many different ways you can pronounce recreation. Some people said it. Is it recreation? Is it recreation? So we got very smart. Next speaker is Jennifer Blonder. Following Jennifer, Lucia Casalinovo. If you raise your hand, I'll.
Okay. Hello. My name is Jennifer Blonder. I'm a resident of Pismo Beach. I'm an educator. I work with small children mostly, and I love them very much. I'm also a surfer, and I also love surfing very much. And so the health of children and the health of the ocean are two very important factors to me. Right now I have an ear infection, which I believe is from the water quality, which isn't so hot right now. When I surf in Oceano, to be honest with you, sometimes I want to vomit from the smell of oil in the air. That can't be healthy.
I bike here. Thanks, Bill, for reminding us. I've been a resident of Oceano for about 20 years, and I am a homeowner on Pier Avenue. And I'm here to tell you why I protest the selling of the land to the state, and I protest the driving of cars and vehicles on the dunes. The first thing I want to tell you as a homeowner and a resident of Oceano for 20 years is the trash on Pier Avenue I have to put up with every day. My green waste Big Bina is always filled with trash. The people coming back from the beach dumping my green waste. For months I had to fight with the local green waste company because they would not pick it up. Because when they come Friday morning and they pick it up, they open it, they see that on top of my green waste there is a bunch of trash and they leave it there. And I've gone and talked with them many times, but there is no way to stop the trasher. Now, what I have to do is go there on Thursday afternoon to clean up my green waste from the trash before I put it out on Friday morning so that they will pick it up. Now, trash again, I find the piles of trash dumped right next to my mailbox. I had to pick it up and put it in my trash can. And it was a big bed of trash full of cigarette butts, beer cans mostly, and beer bottles. And I pay taxes to live on that street and to live in Oceano. And I end up picking up the trash for those trashers. Now, the next problem I would like to tell you is about my driveway. I had to call the sheriff to have people move the recreational vehicle off my driveway. Now, sometimes they're polite and they just move. Sometimes they are rude and slam their door and vroom, 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 and get out of there. Or sometimes I have to fight with them and they say, it's just going to be 5 minutes. I'm next door. I mean, no, please, this is my driveway. They block the mailbox. They block the entire way. I have to talk more because this is another issue. Occupying the driveway. Now somebody is selling air on Pier Avenue. There is a truck and it's the law enforcement. I've been riding my bike on the beach and walking on the beach for 20 years. I see the vehicles driving on the off dunes. No vehicle access, they still do. And I call the ranger and I tell them to go give them fines and they don't. And when the ranger went there, they stopped, talked to the guy, and then I say, excuse me, ranger, I'm curious. Did you give him a fine? No. Why not? Because it's my discretion to give fines to whoever I want, he say. And we want to encourage people to come and drive on the beach. I still have a few more points to make. That the noise, the trucks, the fire truck, the ambulance, we have to put up with that noise day and night. And they come over here to enjoy their weekend, they destroy my weekend. And their weekend of hundreds of people who enjoy peacefully the dunes, the parks, the lagoons, and the children parks around the lagoons. Then you go out there, it looks like a Wild West town. Unfortunately, there's not enough West anymore to keep it wild. Maybe it was okay 100 years ago when there were fewer vehicles and more dunes and more sand, but now there are more vehicles, less sand and less dune. So we cannot just afford to put up with an activity that I believe is dangerous, unsafe, polluting, destructive, and negative. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Is that Anthony? Anthony is going to be followed by Larry Bross.
I don't think I can beat that last one. I've lived in Oceano for about 12 years now. You probably haven't seen me. I'm a long-haul truck driver, and I'm only home for a couple days a month, and luckily somebody gave me an invitation this evening. Sure. I've noticed that our community, the things that really concern me, and I believe that should concern you also, is a constant battle between man and nature. Our ocean is constantly trying to take back what is hers, and we're spending a lot of time and money trying to keep the sand out of our homes, businesses, and drains. I believe that we can meet her in a truce to this battle by paying more attention to our plants that are native to our beach and around our homes and our businesses. As an example, I'd like to point out the lot between 356 and 332 Pier Ave. The plants cannot compete with the traffic of driving over the curb and through this lot to access the alley behind Pier Avenue. Through the lot into the alley behind Pier Avenue, there's a lot of traffic that takes a shortcut over the curb through there, and I'd like to propose that we try to make a way to either pave that or improve it with plants. During the winter months, when the plants have a chance to regain some of their ground on the sand, the sand encroachment is much less. This is only one example of properties that, with little improvement in planting or paving, can eliminate tons of sand encroachment and drift sand encroachments and drifting onto our streets, drains, and homes. I'd like to encourage all of you to look closer at the areas where sand is drifting and see the potential for improvement in sand abatement costs to our community. By improving or keeping these areas planted, this encroachment can be stabilized and save a lot of money and labor in the future. Like it or not, we live in a delicate balance with nature. Unfortunately, nature is losing. Many of us don't think about it or even know how it will affect our future. But if we think about it, we could see how an annual sewer line inspection in Arroyo Grande may have prevented 50,000 gallons of raw sewage from coming down the stream into our community last month and into our ocean. If we think about it, we can show the community, we can show the county how important it is to sell the 584-acre La Grande tract to the state. I believe this is important because I believe that the studies show that there are species of plants and animals that need to be protected. And if this property sells to the state will make this a protected land. If we think about it, we should want to know why marine animals like seals and dolphins are getting sick and washing ashore in Oceano. If we think about it, we should see how and why preservation of estuaries and wetlands can benefit our recreational areas and tourism. If we really think about it and do little research, you can see how desalination of seawater is a real bad economic and environmental decision. Oceano has a charm and personality that separates us from the incorporated cities. This gives us greater potential to attract quality, not quantity, in residents, enhance agriculture, business, and tourist guests. We have, as a community, some difficult decisions to make regarding our town's future.
So please be respectful of others who would like to speak here tonight. If you just carry on, then we will run out of time. With that, next speaker is Mr. Bross, followed by Kelly. And is your last name Devaney? If you raise your hand, we'll or come forward here. You're welcome to. Mr. Bross.
You know, it's kind of interesting. I've never met Lucia. We're neighbors. And she said it all. What can I say? You know, I'm the guy who appealed it. And I think they said it was a slam dunk. This thing should have been over. Nobody would have known about it. And that's how in 83 it happened. In 83, we had a ramp here, a wood ramp. It went straight out. It didn't go diagonally in front of the homes. The dunes were never planted, as you know. It was sand. We had a storm. It took out the Pismo Pier. It took out the Grover concrete ramp. And it took out our ramp. That was in 83. Tom Sullivan, and if I don't know where he is today, was the manager of Grover. And Tom told me that he changed the direction 45 degrees, never had a permit because it would have been too complicated. This is 83. This is the Wild West. Patton, who was at that time superintendent, who I believe still works for Parks, first he didn't do the 45 degree change. He did it slowly. Then he had a meeting, you know, to plant the dunes. You know, we wondered why, okay? And, of course, if he was going to come in front of the homes, he couldn't have us. We used to remove the sand once a year. It cost me $90. They pushed it out, and that was done with it. The state is a very, very difficult neighbor. You know, for 7 years, they took care of the sand problem. They did a heck of a good job. And then they stopped. The dune, you know, I'd stand on a dune in front of one of the houses near the end, near the creek, and you'd look down on a house. So, you know, if the state is going to do that, temporary access. When they came in, they were experimenting with camping on undesignated sites. You know, we have two campgrounds here. One there, one campground, nobody can complain about. This campground, as you come on pier and you turn right, there are designated spots to camp on. There's a place to dump. They had 300, and they said they promised. This is, we're going back to the 80s, that they will build campgrounds on the east side of the dunes. Well, we had a fight for years to keep the numbers, to finally get the numbers down to 1,000 campers. Fights. You know, the county washed its hands with us. They were out of it. They would love to get rid of this problem, but the art of governing is for the health, safety, and welfare of people. And our only government is the county. We are not incorporated like Pismo. Pismo got rid of, you know, one of the entrances. When I first came down here, I was teaching in Palo Alto. You know, I come down, my car was parked pointing south in the parking lot. I get down here on a Friday. We're talking about the 70s. I come on the Pismo side, and my kids learned how to drive on this beach. I drive down, and by the time I got to my little 16 by 24 cabin, because it was a palapa, that's all it was, you know, I'd have my limit of clams. Preservation. Man, preservation. We don't have clams anymore. I caught steelhead out the mouth of that creek. I tell you this. If it's don't do anything, sale or lease, you have to protect the creek. Okay? You've got to protect the creek. We have an estuary out there now. We've got, I mean, the biggest secret is the birding that goes on out here. We have the most beautiful natural beach on this entire coast, and it has been ruined.
Next is Kelly. Do we have Kelly?
Right here.
Oh, there you are, Kelly. And following Kelly is
Kelly. Of 584 acres would be a disservice to the community of Oceano and San Luis Obispo County. The sale will take Oceano's right to function and develop into a community with pride. The county regulations have been ignored with the continuous violation of the intended land use. We insist that San Luis Obispo County make the proper accommodations to increase safety and alleviate the impact to Oceano's residents and their community. If this is not accomplished, further action will be executed to expose who the county represents.
Thank you, Carol.
Thank you.
And following Carol will be Norm Getty.
Hello. Can you hear me? My name is Carol DeHart. I live in North County, actually, in Paso Robles, so I came a ways to speak to y'all tonight. I'm just going to read a simple statement that I wrote. In 1974, my ex-husband, Roger Briggs, who you've heard of, and I moved from the Bay Area to the quaint and charming town of Halcyon. We graduated from Burbank High School and then from the University of California at Berkeley. I received a degree in conservation of natural resources and had the opportunity and honor to study under some pioneers of conservation and environmental sciences and consciousness being taught back then. I'm an idealist, and believe it or not, overpopulation, extinction of animal species, global warming were all conditions that I studied way back then. Our move to Halcyon proved to be one, as the word implies, a peaceful and calming influence on the seas, tranquility. We lived on Grell's Tree Farm in Steelhouse, a house that was Cal Poly Project, and purchased from Cal Poly by Gudrun and her husband in the 60s. This was a truly welcome change from the hustle and bustle of Bay Area life, and we did experience Halcyon days, but they were to be short-lived. We moved to North County with the impending knowledge that
the ORVs were coming, we also were able to build our home there. We hated leaving the South County. We did love it very much. Mrs. Grell divided her Christmas tree farm into passive solar homes with the architect Polly Cooper. They had true foresight to pioneer homes like this back in the 80s. Then began the implosion of the ORVs and let the degradation begin. We lost the pristine and tranquil environment to high-volume traffic and noise pollution. We are losing the diversity of our indigenous wildlife, as is evident by the endangered snowy plover, which continues to be threatened. We've lost our air quality, which continues to degrade daily. Having grown up in Burbank, we often experience painful breathing from the smog that settled in the San Fernando Valley during an inversion layer. I see it here now in our Salinas River Valley. We've lost our beach to thrill seekers who can no longer visit and appreciate the natural state of the dunes and the beaches, a complex habitat that once flourished, smoking in restaurants and in public. You have the ability to affect a huge change that will have an immediate impact on the health of the entire county and will impact the environment forever. Please pay it forward for the sake of our future, but more importantly, for the sake of my children and our grandchildren. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I would again ask the public, please don't interrupt any of the speakers. Don't be rude to anyone. It's not appreciated. Everybody has an opinion of their own, and they need to speak their mind without being interrupted, and all opinions are welcomed. Mr. Getty, followed by Christy Comforce.
My name is Norm Getty. I serve on the Zone 11A Advisory Committee, which is dealing with the Flood Control Channel. And that's what prompted my presence on the task force recently. I'm an Oceano resident, I'm retired, and have great empathy for the many interests that are displayed here. What you're hearing tonight is sort of an instant replay of the many weeks that we spent in the task force, because there was just as much energy and just as much emotion, and it's just as complex now as it was when we first started. Okay, but I beg you to think forward in just a brief way. Think forward with me. What if it was possible to improve the environment and habitat and those precious things that are on the beachfront, the beach areas? What if there was a way that we could protect our residents and the condition in the community and improve community conditions? What if there was a way that we could, in fact, safeguard the economic element in the community that's so vital to us? What if we could safeguard and provide for the, quote, recreational interest of those who have been coming here for many years? And I think I'm the one that talked about recreation instead of recreation. We need to recreate a serious area, a very important area, that is in our community. It's been here. It's going to remain here. And in thinking forward, my question is, can we get to the point of finding how we can do these things as opposed to the constant looking back and fighting what is? That's a big leap. It's hard for us because it requires us to work together as opposed to working apart. So my plea, my challenge to you, my encouragement is that you would think with me and think forward in these particular areas. I think there are some alternatives that should be considered, that this is possible. Okay. We cannot do it, however, as long as we insist on anchoring our own single position. We must cooperate. That's life. We cannot live unless we cooperate. So with all the interest, all the energy, all the emotion, I applaud that and welcome it and believe it's a very important, valuable piece of our community. But I would also ask, please, find a way to join together and find a way to find solution. Thank you.
Thank you. Christy, following Christy is Ginger. Is it S-C-H-E-N-K, Schenk? Okay.
Want me to hold something for you?
Sure. Okay, I brought my poster board because I'm not a very good public speaker, so picture says 1,000 words. My name's Christy, and I'm an Oceano resident, and I wanted to address this first part to Cacho, who I've gotten to know over the last couple weeks. I was looking over the SLO Board of Supervisors webpage, and as an elected official, you're sworn to enhance the environmental and social quality of life in District 4. So that's Oceano, as well as the economic. So I vote that local control, no sale. I want increased environmental protection and preservation, more regulation of the beach and the dunes that allows the use and enjoyment for all. Oceano community and the beach has been used and abused. We need enforcement, conditions, and control to appropriately respond to the impact of the visitors. These issues need our attention due to the rapid increase in visitors to our community. Although sensitivity to the outlying communities of Aurora Grande and Pismo Beach and Grover Beach should be applied, the main focus needs to be on our community because we experience the biggest impact. Oceano growth has been stunted by the lack of attention to maintenance and development of community potential, while at the same time experiencing a huge influx of visitors that utilize and sometimes, as you can see by the pictures, exploit our resources. Our environment is forever, and we need to stop abusing it before it's too late. And I invite you to look at the pictures. These are this weekend's pictures, as I can tell by the nice sunburn I got going to get them. Thank you.
Thank you. Ginger is next, followed by, is it Ron, Glenn? Okay, so we don't have any children under 18. Okay, Ginger, the next person after Ginger will be Ron, then Mitterrand. Okay, I hope I said that semi-correctly. Go ahead, ma'am. Take this away from
me. Hello, my name is Ginger Shank. I'm a member of Friends of Oceana Dunes. I'm a local. The camping area will be gone. State parks already expressed concerns if they would maintain the resources to keep only 400 acres open for OHV. I'm concerned about the local cities, just the loss of jobs. If this beach gets reduced, it'll be difficult to recover from. We all know there aren't many jobs in this area. Why would we want to make a decision to make this even worse? Then we revert back to the economic impact on our small local businesses. We know there are 2 million people a year that visit this park. They are local people, and they are from out of town. Either way, they are here, and they are spending money. I have a lot of friends that come down to the beach. The wives can't wait to get the truck unhooked so they can run into town to the outlet store, the bead store, the supermarket. I see it a lot. I have a lot of friends. I'm at the beach a lot. So don't say they're not spending money in our community. That is completely false. The complaints about the creek really have no merit. Until the dam is removed and effort is made to clean up the creek before it even reaches the tide line, there's no point in arguing it. During the busy summer months and during low tide throughout the year, there is no creek that vehicles even drive through. It's dry sand. Just think of all the progress that could be made if all the people that are against the OHB and the OHBers put their resources together and focused on the 13,000 acres that are already closed, promote endangered species and native habitat in that area. Why are we focused on the little part that you've already completely squeezed us out of? We've lost 13,000 acres, and I know they say we need to compromise. We've compromised. We're done. Last thing about moving the entrance to the park, this is a selfish alternative to me. I mean, I would like to see a different access to the park. I think it would be nice, but that is not fair. Access to 22nd Street or the Mesa would not be fair to the homeowners in those areas. They chose to buy or build a home in an area that is not accessed to an OHV park. The people on Strand had a choice when they made it. Now they want to turn it into someone else's problem. I have an easier fix. Purchase a home anywhere else on the whole western United States coast that doesn't have vehicles. I agree trash is a problem. It's a problem everywhere. In front of my business on 4th Street, locals dump their trash. It happens everywhere. It's not, what are they supposed to do? And I'm not saying it's right they're dumping them, but we need to make something for them so that they can dump them in a trash or something and get on the beach. That's all they wanted to do was go to the beach. Last, let's see.
I see a lot of people walking on the beach every day. I am pleading on behalf of a lot of people in Friends of Oceana Dunes. Please keep the park to operate as it is. The traffic is not worse now than it was 40 years ago. We have magazine articles. We have magazine articles. We have video showing more cars going on the beach then than there is now. It looks worse now because people are paying to get on the beach, and the line is stopped. It's not flowing. It's a fact. I'm sorry you do not like the cars. I'm sorry you do not like the new young generation, the clothes they wear, the trucks they drive, the attitude they present. It's a generation gap, and it's sad that a few majority of people out there are that generation gap. I'm almost done. I got my last thing. A majority of the people out there are good, hardworking, honest people that just want to have a good time and clean the beach. They want to give money to your community. They want to try to work with the people in Oceano to try to make it better. And it's sad that, you know, it's the 90-10 rule. 10% make it look bad for the other 90%. So please, Board of Supervisors, remember the all the honest, hardworking people when you make your decision.
Thank you. Before I get to run, I want to personally beg that you respect everybody regardless of their opinion. And let's be polite about it. It's something you might like hearing or not hearing. It's their right. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. Board of Supervisors aren't here tonight to make a decision. So please allow us to move forward as we prepare ourselves, and don't be rude to anyone. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. Again, we're going to try that one more time, see where we go. We go to Ron, and following Ron will be Nell Langford. Ron, do you have a mic? Go ahead. It's your turn, Ron.
You'll be followed by Ms. Langford. Can everybody hear Ron? Is it on? Okay, why don't you come up here and...
Is PM10, PM2.5, which is a small air particulate that will get into the lungs of the young, the elderly, which we have all kinds of elderly that live in the Oceano area that should be concerned with this, that is being disturbed by people driving on the beach in front of homes. I know there's environmental impacts on moving the access, but I think humans come before any other environment. With the PM10, they've been trying to come up with different solutions. The county has had a hearing from the air quality of San Luis Obispo just last week dealing with the amount of PM10, PM2.5 in the Napoma Mesa, which is 4 times higher than any other area in the county. And it only occurs when there's a prevailing northwest wind coming from the Oceana Dunes areas. As I was coming home today, I'm coming from Pismo Beach, and it's windy in Pismo Beach. But when you look over towards Oceano, all you see was a brown cloud coming off of Oceana Dunes, coming into the residence.
Thank you. Before we get to Ms. Langford, we figured out how it works. If I have a couple of volunteers that want to move the mics up and down, you're welcome to help me out. And following Nell will be Linda Navarrete, so something close to that.
I'm Nell Langford, and I own property in Oceano. And I can vouch for all the people who say that it's got worse on the beach. The noise, especially for me, because I'm right by the ramp. The ramp should never have been dug. It's a canal. It's a danger to me and to everyone. You, my neighbor, and Angelo, whether you know it or not, you're right downwind of it. And if we have another storm anywhere near approaching 83, the county engineer has assured us that the area will be flooded because of the ramp, the sand ramp. This sand ramp is a canal. It's very conducive to all kinds of problems that are noisy, polluting. I see you out there pulling each other out with ropes every, you know, I mean, one after the other. I mean, all you people, all you Roy Grandy, Grover Beach, Pismo, Oceano people who really promote this kind of recreation and are our elected officials, I think you ought to change the name of Oceano because we don't have any access to it at all. What we have is Bruntsville. We are the brunt. And for money, money, money. And this money, money, money thing really gets me because all you ATV people are Johnny come latelys except for Angelo. And I was here not as long as you have been, Angelo, but far longer than the rest of you. And you knew when you came here that that beach was only to be used as a temporary interim staging area. This is on all the records. And why you now complain that we should move, we the residents? I've been here since 1976. And some of you people brought your little dog and pony shows in here. They're all over Pier Avenue. They sell wood. They sell. I don't have any really problem with people wanting to make money like that. But can't you take it into another area? And why must you take our town? We deserve, Cacho, from you, we deserve the rights of homeowners, property owners. We deserve the rights of citizens. We deserve noise ordinances that are not applied to us. We don't get a noise ordinance. You can go on that ramp and get stuck 4 o'clock in the morning. You can get offload your ATVs at 4 o'clock in the morning, right there at the end of the ramp. There's no ranger there. There's nothing. And you can run around and keep us up all night long, and it's fine. And I took pictures of you this weekend. I cannot believe what you do to the creek with its 4 endangered species. I cannot believe the trucks that just use it for their recreation and to show off, and the ATVs that ride through it, and the Hummers, and the huge tanks that you all carry. What are you thinking? This is a neighborhood. What you do here is you come in here and you fill your tanks with gas. That's the big economy thing, and that's the problem we have here because Cacho has 3 gasoline. Raise consciousness here. If you must do this, go back to Bakersfield.
Linda, we can bring a mic to you. After Linda is Susan Testa.
Okay.
Linda, be sure the mic is on. And
Is it on? Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. We are new residents of Oceano. We own a place on Strand, and we also own property on Pier. And when we bought here, we were given an Oceano plan, what it was supposed to look like, and that's what they showed us. And we thought it was quite beautiful, the buildings along Pier and the way the Strand would look. And that doesn't seem to be a reality of what they're showing people and what really exists. And to tell you the truth, what really bothers us is that we live right on the Strand, and it's the cars on the beach. It's scared to even put children out there because they come so fast. They're much faster than 15 miles an hour. And so, you know, yesterday we were walking on the beach, and I was really getting afraid of that. So I think it's good to be on the dunes, but maybe the exit could be closer to the dunes where they get on it, so therefore they could still enjoy it, but then it wouldn't be in front of houses and walking. That's it.
Thank you. Susan Testa, followed by Michael Sullivan.
I live here in Pismo. My husband's been here for about 5 generations, his family. And Nail's right. If they do not sell the property and we take it over the county, they should change the name. They should change it to Guadalupe, because that's what our little area will be like. Our 5 cities will be like Guadalupe. And the businesses will go out of business. At the last Pismo meeting, the owner of Brad said, if you get rid of off-road recreation, 80% of my business is from there. We will close our doors. Many businesses, I'm self-employed, have a business of my own, many businesses will close down. That is a fact. The snowy plover has been studied and studied. There was an article in the paper recently where Eureka has got the lowest fledgling rate that they've ever had. There has been no, every study has showed it is not the cars that hurt the plovers, it is the predators. That's a fact. The clams have nothing to do with it. Maybe at one of the meetings I saw a lady say that her family used to come and dig up 400 of them. Maybe that's where the clams have gone. The access, I agree, it would be nice if it could change, but at this point, that's not the question. The question is leaving the dunes open. Maybe later that can happen. And this, their ATVs. So it has nothing to do with global warming. Liability, I'm hoping that the county does turn it over because the liability will be tremendous. My mother, before she died, it was the only way she could get to the beach was by us driving down there. It was the only way she could get down there. So it's a shame a lot of people that have disabilities won't be able to enjoy the ocean. The dust, I heard the dust brought up. I don't know who's not reading these studies. The dust is there. It's not from the cars. If you go down there, when there's hardly any cars down there on a windy day, the dust is going like crazy. You don't need cars down there, and you can see with your own eyes the dust is blowing all over the place because it's windy and it's sand on the beach. The state does a good job at maintaining the parks. I do agree, though, that maybe they should do something. Give some money to Oceano, maybe charge $1 an extra car, which I heard that mentioned, and I think that's a great idea, or give some of the money from the sale to Oceano to help improve it. The health of the ocean, I heard this one lady say about how she gets ear infections. My husband's been surfing here for 40 years. The only places he's gotten sick is by the pier in Shell Beach from the sewer runoff, never from the oil, never heard of that. As a matter of fact, studies are done all the time. The ocean's cleaner here than it is in Pismo and Shell Beach and Avila. So I'm going to close those beaches, I guess, let people have houses with storm drains. And the air, maybe there is a problem with the air, the guy that fills up the air, I don't know about this. I would imagine he has to have a business license, like the hot dog vendor in Avila Beach. Maybe he doesn't, I don't know, but it seems like that would be the law. If he doesn't, then he should be cited. And this is unbelievable that people think there was less cars than there is now. It's a fact. There are more cars now. I mean, more cars back then, excuse me. There's pictures. We have videos.
Please.
You know, I chastised somebody for being disrespectful to you, and I'm amazed at how disrespectful you've been to a few people that disagree with you. I'm really disappointed.
Please, ladies and gentlemen.
And then somebody else mentioned that the sand blows and it's causing the streets and the sewers to be filled up. So they think the sand should be pushed away. I don't know how many of you think that's good for the environment. I think the houses there on the Strand are a big problem. I think that there was sand dunes there before those houses were there. Maybe they should tear those down. And one of the people that keeps speaking up, of course, has a vested investment because she has a house on the Strand. So she's worried about her house and her income.
Right behind you again.
Thank you, sir.
Hi. Can you hear me? I'm Michael Sullivan. I live in San Luis Obispo. I first came to the dunes in 1965 as a young college student. And at that time, there was no state park here. And there were very few riders on the beach at that time. In fact, I was down here one time, and a private plane landed on the beach. It was so deserted. Since that time, vehicle use has expanded greatly, and the problems associated with that use have expanded greatly also. The main decision that the Board of Supervisors has on next Tuesday is whether this piece of land that they now control should be sold to the state for about $4.8 million. How many of you have ever heard of the term Seward's Folly from American history? It came a long time ago in the 1800s when somebody from the Russian government decided to sell Alaska to the United States for about $7 million. And a lot of people said that was folly because it was too much money. Was that a good deal for America? It was. We'd be selling the precious piece of land that the county owns. Selling it to the state, would that be a good deal for the state? Of course it would. It would be a terrible deal for the county, because if you look at that map, you can see what a desirable and strategic location we have there that offers the county great opportunities for local control, for management, and environmental protection. And I think that's valuable. That's something that the county needs to hang on to. We don't want a Seward's folly that will be the Board of Supervisors' folly. Thank you.
Gentlemen in the red shirt, next is Bud Branham. Following Bud will be Dennis Law. If you raise your hands, then the gentleman with the mics will bring them to you.
My name is Bud Branham, and I've lived here my entire life. I'm 21 years old, and I live by Lopez Lake. Now, half you people that are up here complaining about the beach and the cars that were on it, how long have you lived here? Like 9 and 10 years? The beach has been like that since you lived here. You knew moving to this area what it was about. You guys have come and moved from different areas and shut down everything else there is to do into this town. And the only place we have left is to go to the beach. Yeah, that's why there's so many people there. Why don't you quit moving to our area and making us, oh, it's this and it's that. But that's all I have to say because I said it all in the news camera earlier. Sorry.
Thank you. Dennis Law is next.
Following Dennis will be Miguel. I'm sorry I'm not able to read the first letter. Is it Zavaret? Zavaret. Okay. Miguel will be next. Mr. Law.
Thank you. My name is Dennis Law. I'm from San Luis Obispo, and my passion is riding off-road motorcycles. I'm a member of the CCMA and current president of the CCMA, which is the Central Coast Motorcycle Association. We're one of the appellants in the matter before the Board of Supervisors. My group, I believe, stands for responsible off-roading. We would like to see the Oceano Dunes preserved as it is, as an SVRA. It is a part of the state park system. Off-roading is an established and appropriate and legitimate form of recreation, just like any other form of recreation. We feel that we should be respected in the same way that we off-roaders would extend respect to all the rest of you folks that have a different form of recreation. One of the main concerns that we have as a group is the impact that any reduction or closure of off-roading on Oceano Dunes is going to have system-wide. And by system-wide, I'll refer to the state and the county. It's one of six SVRAs, and the closure of these dunes will push usage into those others, which system-wide is not a good thing, and I hope people can look beyond their own individual settings and think of it in that way. At a county level, there is only two public riding areas in the county right now. One is at Oceano, and the other is on U.S. Forest Service lands in the eastern part of the county. There are no county lands that are open for off-roading other than the portion that's in the Oceano Dunes. There are no private tracks in this county. There are simply no other opportunities for off-roading other than the U.S. Forest Service lands and the Oceano Dunes. The closure of the Oceano Dunes will have an impact on the Forest Service lands because it will push riders out into the area. Again, I ask that you look beyond your own individual concerns and think of it in a little more broader context. It's hard when you look at an impact in isolation and don't look at the whole system as a whole, which is one of balance. The SVRA was established through compromise. There's a lot of areas that are preserved and kept open as a result of that that are good forms of use for those that are looking for a more serene environment. Thank you very much.
We have a problem because the dollar buys, and you know the old saying that that money talks and the other one walks. The community will suffer if you don't have some kind of control here. Those folks that are proposing that the beach continue as it is, I think we'll have a major, major problem. Right now, the beach is not usable from Pier North and a little bit on Pier South for anybody who is not driving. And I'm of the opinion that if the state or the county maintains control of that, you need some kind of compliance. There's a 15-mile zone there that very few folks adhere to. Children, I saw children the other day walking, and just about got hit by a car. The kids are small, and especially during the dust, the evening dust, when the lighting is not all that good, I'm surprised that we haven't really had some real serious kids killed there. They can't run to the water, and if you're going to have vehicles up and down that, there ought to be strict compliance on the part of the state or the county. You've got some 15-mile zone posters that are closer to the bushes and far from the water level and far from the sand where people hang out are. It's a very dangerous thing. If it's going to continue, doesn't matter who runs the shop, there's got to be some compliance. You can't have vehicles going 30 and 40 miles an hour on that beach, and there is. The other thing is that I think we need to look at is if the county or the state, whoever is profiting from this adventure on the beach, the sand is, there's a lot of sand being brought on Pier Street. If the county is responsible, they should clean it. If the state is responsible for bringing that sand on the pier, they should clean it. Somebody's making bucks. If the ATVs are making the sand that darn near went into the ocean because of misjudgment or because of a high creek water level. But I don't think we can go on this way, Mr. Cacho, simply because either you folks at the county level or the state, somebody's got to take some compliance and monitor the laws that are already there. If you did that much, it would be a big thing. But to let it go and go and go and go, the ambulances are going south, but I'll bet you very soon they're going to be start going north also.
Thank you. Next speaker is Sean. We'll have a mic right behind you, Sean. And following Sean will be Patty. Is it Duron?
Okay. Hi, Sean, resident of the Strand on the beach there. And I've noticed in the years I've lived here that the traffic's gotten quite a bit worse, and people can't really go down the beach anymore. There's this whole situation is a big conflict of interest, where this park here is a cash cow for the state park system, and it's also a cash cow for the city of Grover Beach. Oceano gets nothing. No one cleans anything down here and assumes any responsibility for the ambulances going up and down, the people speeding up and down, throwing trash out the window, and almost running people over on the beach. And traffic has got quite a bit worse, and the pollution with it. It's something has got to happen. Someone has to stop these cars at all hours of the night, and these ambulances, it's insane. The people that have these businesses in Grover Beach, if they had a house next to this circus, this Coney Island West that goes on, why don't we just put some alligators in the lake and we'll have Coney Island West? Thank you.
Thank you. Patty is next, and following Patty will be Mr. Mankins. And I would like to acknowledge Mr. Mankins as one of the former four district supervisors. Welcome, sir.
Hi, my name is Patty Duran. I don't live on the Strand. I live in Napomo. I don't own a house in Oceano. I did want to address that Seward's Folly. $4.8 million goes on the beach before. You guys have come into this area, go back and use your, you know, whatever. You know, the problem is now, yeah, back then it wasn't such a problem. We didn't have that many vehicles. Okay, we did not have global warming. Global warming is a serious threat. I don't know why all of us in this room are not standing together and saying, what can we do? You know, I mean, the cars that go across there, those huge campers, those huge trucks, even if we limited to only the ATVs? Or what if we all decided to some ingenious person come up with battery-powered ATVs that can only go over there? The carbon dioxide wouldn't be in the air. We wouldn't have the noise pollution, I think. We wouldn't have the endangerment. Those huge RVs, those huge trucks that are crushing over the snowy plovers, the steelhead trout. Come on, we need to all stand behind the environment. We need to all pull together. Why are we fighting? You know, who are we for? Are we for our planet? I think we should all really reconsider this whole situation.
Mr. Mankins, followed by Steve Dayton.
Supervisor Cacho, Patterson, and county staff, ladies and gentlemen, my name's Howard Mankins. And I must say, Cacho, you run a very good meeting, and thank you very much
thank
for
you, sir.
Having it.
I'm trying to follow your footsteps.
I remember, however, though, when I had a meeting as such in Santa Barbara, I had to have two sheriff's deputies protect me on my way in from a meeting like this. So you're running a good meeting. If I understand it correctly, there seems to be two issues here. One is a sale of the property, and the other one is the use. We really don't want to get the cart before the horse, because in my opinion, I think we can solve the use issue if we solve the sale issue. And I remember our Board of Supervisors some years back had the discussion that we're having today about use. And the only way we got anywhere with the state at all, and by that, by the way, William Penn Mott was the director of Parks and Recreation for the state of California. Very impossible man to deal with. And Mr. Ned Rogoway, the planning commissioner, and I met many times with he and Governor Reagan's staff trying to solve the beach issue, not only for the user's sake, trade every vote he has to get anything anywhere from San Francisco and Los Angeles. However, my pitch would be that we could come to no terms at all with William Penn Mott, Cacho, and finally left it alone. And we made we did not lease it to them, we did not sell it to them. They offered to us to take it over and run it. We agreed, and then they reneged on it. So I would not be too excited if I were a dune buggy enthusiast or a homeowner about having the state take it over, because we don't really know what their plans will be tomorrow. And if anybody's dependent on federal or state or other governments other than our own, you're really asking for a problem. And I would only say one last thing, Cacho and Supervisor Patterson, since you're both here graciously listening to our comments. I do own property in Oceana, by the way, so it's not like I'm an old has-been talking. I don't believe we should sell our heritage. I think it's something that we have. We have families. I'm sitting next to a family member here that did more for the protection of this beach, Mrs. Guyton and her family, than anybody I know. Mr. Clyde Withrow gave the property all along the ocean from Grand Avenue to Roosevelt Avenue to the state parks people years and years ago. Keep it local. Keep it local control, because the political facts of life does not give us the votes to do what we might decide later to do. And we can decide later on how we might use it in a meeting such as this. Thank you, Cacho.
Thank you. Appreciate your taking time and come here tonight, Mr. Mankins. Always good to hear from you. Steve Dayton, followed by the Lane Olivas.
Hi. I'm going to try to stay on point here. There's a couple things I've heard a lot of people who want to talk about walking on the beach and no cars. Well, last time I looked, there's about 1,100 miles of California coastline. We have 5. So I guess that means if I went to school in Iowa here, you got, what, 1,095 miles to walk on with no cars? It's greedy. For the people who filed the appeal, who are here fighting this, you people came here for the same excitement and the same lure that people come here today. A chance to drive on the beach, walk on the beach, clam on the beach. At JJ's restaurant up there, there's a really neat picture on the wall. It's a 1911 motorcycle rally. There's something like 3,000 motorcycles and a biplane on the beach. But it'll be Radiator Springs. There won't be any business in Grover Beach. And the overprice that I just paid for my properties won't be half what I paid. Thanks.
Thank you. Leland Olivas, if I'm saying that correctly, O-L-I-V-A-S. If not here, next person is Jerry Silkwood. Jerry here in the back.
No, we can't hear you here.
Can you hear it?
Yeah.
There it goes. All right, I'm Jerry Silkwood. I'm 22 years old. I've been a resident of Oceano 22 years. Everything I do is down on the beach. I surf. I like to ride my bike, as people like to mention earlier, except the keep up on it is a lot. You get rusty chains, and you got to go through seat covers and so forth and so on. But besides that point, you got trucks. People come down here with cars. People come down here with jet skis. Come down here with kite boards with kites on it, and you can have a surfboard and go and have fun for recreation. You're taking not just the income from the five cities or from Oceano. People come down here thinking it's Pismo Beach. Okay, you guys all live in this area as well as I do. You know the income factor, that it's not that big of a deal, but it is. If you were to go to somewhere in Florida, they're going to do the same thing. They're going to have these same debates about what goes on their beach. But if you go up to like Maine or New York, New Jersey, Iowa, somebody mentioned Iowa, they have commercials stating to come to our beach. It's not just going to affect our city, which is the greedy part of us. You're taking away from this whole country. People come from all over this country, not just the city, not just Bakersfield, not just the valley. You know, I partied on the beach this weekend with a family that had came from Germany just to see this beach. And you think that hurts me? Minor. It hurts the world. Don't just announce this meeting as a local meeting. Let it be known to everybody. Because what changes are made are only made to satisfy who? We the people. So give us a chance, everybody, not just the ones that are here. Thank you.
Thank you. From the Native Americans' perspective, Treaties of Guadalupe Hidalgo were written in 1849. We gave 7,000 acres, 7,000 square miles to the United States government from Malibu to Ragged Point in exchange for 1 million acres of land. These treaties were never ratified by the United States government. In 1906, they were found in a hidden archive in Washington. And later in that year of 1906, the Supreme Court of the United States declared laches, which is saying that we waited too long to reclaim our land. From the Native American perspective, we still own this land. This is our land. PG&E tried to sue us for trespassing on their land, and they lost the case because they could not prove legal transfer of ownership from the Chumash Indians to the United States government. I've been hearing a lot of stuff here today about what these dunes mean to a lot of people. I've been here my whole life. I've walked these dunes. I've lived in them. My people have used these dunes for over 20,000 years. Well, I take that back. These dunes here are only about 9,000 years old. The ocean 20,000 years ago was 7 miles further out and 300 feet deeper. These dunes are a sacred place to us. Underneath the laws of California, CEQA, SB 18, these dunes need to be preserved. They need to be protected. This is a wonderful spot on the planet. Chumash Nation recognizes that there are a lot of people that depend on the economy of this dunes. But as if with the timber industry, with the fishing industry, with all the other industries that have changed and had to evolve, it's time that we look at an evolution into something new. The beauty of these dunes is incredible. the things that we could do by adding more campgrounds for people to walk from their campgrounds to the beaches, the way we could market this to the world, so to speak, in a way that's good for everybody. And there maybe needs to be a transition period from where between the next 5 and 10 years, it's a transition down. Cathedral, Chumash Cathedral. My family has walked these dunes. I've walked them when I was a young man. I haven't walked them in a long time because it's dangerous. I run these beaches all the time. But it's time we start looking into the future. It's time we look for short-sightedness to go away. So we are recommending the preservation of these dunes and a transition period to their total protection. Thank you very much.
Our next speaker is Rio Cordes, followed by Barbara Mann. Is Rio still here? In the back, and Mrs. Mann is up front here.
Hello. Hi there. My name is Rio Cordes. I grew up here. I didn't choose to live here necessarily. I was raised here by my great-grandparents, my grandparents, and my mother. My mother grew up here as well. We were both born in San Luis General Hospital. And so I feel like, yeah, this is my heritage too. I considered the dunes to be the most sacred place outside of my body. As far as environment goes, my thing is I want to see the dunes preserved and respected in the proper way, and I'm not going to stop speaking about how I feel until that takes place. I've seen and removed hundreds of pounds of garbage from Oceana Beach. I've seen a dumped hot water heater corroding away at the mouth of the AG Creek. I reported it. Nothing happened. I reported it twice more. Nothing. It's probably buried now. I have seen and removed television sets, corroded car batteries, used medical stuff, needles, bloody band-aids, human feces in a bag, in a box, in a bottle, bonfire burned tires, hundreds of plastic bags floating in the water, all within the surf zone. This is a conflict that we can't ignore. I know that the people who come here, to visitors that come to the beach and people here that use the beach, it bothers them to see that. And some people are doing more than their part. And I know that some of you people who come right now, but obviously things are coming to a head. And basically, there's a liability on whoever's part is going to be responsible for overseeing the dunes and taking money for people who want to visit here. But like we heard before, I believe that there is, within every conflict lies a solution, and we need to focus on the solution and understand the conflict fully so that we can see how we can all work together, because I invite anybody to come down to the beach and enjoy it however they can in a respectful manner. But we can't have things like, you know, we can't have, the kids don't belong on the road. And, you know, it's hard for me to bring my son down to the beach and see a driver swerving at us in the middle of daylight, you know, as if they're going to hit us or something. I don't know what their intention is. I don't really care. My concern is for my safety, my son. And I would love to just be able to walk down to the beach. It's about a mile from my house. And have my son be able to walk on the beach without getting worried about him getting hit by a car, you know, or seeing a corroded water heater just corroding away at the on the beach getting buried. It's not right. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Barbara Mann, followed by Michelle Minari.
My name is Barbara Mann, and on the task force, I was representing the Oceano Advisory Committee. But what I want to talk about a little bit just right now is, it was kind of my understanding that we were looking at two things, whether to sell the property or to lease it. That's what comes up next
next week or on the 17th. So I think we need to deal with first things first. That's what we have to deal with first. Now I want to defend Supervisor Assagian a little bit. When you all are laughing and saying he's making all this money from gasoline, trust me, he's not, because the locals go buy from him. The people going to the beach buy in Grover Beach or out on the freeway. They don't go up to Cacho. Only the locals go to Cacho. And there's no money in gas, very little money in gas. That I know for a fact. The second thing, or third thing I just wanted to say, a few years ago we had a rainy season and the beach was closed for approximately 3 months. ATVers, people from out of town, even those that live here that like to ride on the beach, were not able to do that, to lease it or sell it. And I still don't know which the best of those to do.
Thank you. Thank you. But don't worry about me becoming an elected official. It's a prerequisite of becoming a target. Mr. Minari?
Hello. My name is Michelle Minari. I was in a meeting with the chief in tribes, and Avila Beach is going through the same thing with Chevron property. It's a shame to find out through the chief that the San Luis Bayin used to be a cemetery. How would you like it if they take the Catholic cemetery and turn it to a hotel where you have meetings? That would not go very well. I think if we reinvent and have respect for the Indian tribes, the business will be 10 times more prosper, and we make like a museum like they did in Washington, and everybody will be happy and the quality of life when we pay respect to the Indian tribes for 20,000 years. After all, they've been here before anybody else. And Chevron with their project, and I'm glad to hear all this stuff, because with the proposed hotel or whatever it's going to be there, it's going to be the same deja vu all over again. In Laguna Beach, there is a nice Indian shop, unbelievable business. People will come, and the quality of the people will come will be much, much better, and everybody will be happy.
Thank you. Well, I want to thank you all for taking time from your busy schedules to be here tonight. I want to thank the gentleman for volunteering your time to hold the mics and take them around. I extended my appreciation for former Supervisor Mr. Mankins for being among us this evening. Supervisor Patterson, appreciate your being here. Obviously, we have a job to do come next Tuesday, regardless if I be part of it or not. Again, appreciate all your comments. I have at least absorbed all your inputs that I will share it with my colleagues and we'll see where we go from there. Good night and thank you.